promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
And now, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, you're listening to Sam and Steph in the Morning. If you'd like to take part in the show today, please dial 323-203-0815. And now, here are your program hosts, Sam and Steph, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, September 30th. You ready for the weekend, Steph?
I'm dying for the weekend.
Good morning.
Good morning. I know, it's been a long week, it seems, you know?
This week has been ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous for me. First, a car accident.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I had to put my cat to sleep. Well, not my cat, my great aunt's cat.
Wow. Really? How pleasant, huh?
I was bawling my ass off.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. But this morning, I got distracted because I got pulled over again. The cops are loving me this week. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. What do you mean again? When did you get pulled over?
Well, I guess I didn't get pulled over. I just mean like car situations in general.
Okay.
I bumped a car on Monday or Tuesday, whenever that was. And now today, I get pulled over on my way here.
Wow. Was that on the freeway?
Ridiculous.
Or on the
street? Yeah, on the freeway.
Wow.
He's pulling me over. I'm like, what the hell is this guy pulling me over for? I'm not speeding. My lights, everything's working properly. And it was the registration.
Wow.
So, you know, by accident. I didn't do it on purpose, you know?
Yeah. How cool, huh? When you're on your way to work in the morning to be pulled over.
It's
what
so
a way
frustrating.
To start the freaking day, man.
It pissed me off.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And of course, he's trying to make talk, and he's like, are you heading to work? I'm like, yes, I have a radio show
yeah,
to attend
like, what
to.
What the hell do you think I'm doing on the freeway at this time?
Yeah, he's like, really? What radio show? Seriously, dude. Shut up. Let me go.
Wow.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing. You know, I mean, they see a beautiful woman and they forget who they are. You know?
Yeah, right, Sam. That's exactly what it is.
It is.
I still got a ticket, though.
You did. Well, you know.
Kind of. It was like a warning.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. He claims it'll only be $10. So.
$10?
Yeah. The last time somebody told me that, though, I got a $180 ticket.
Really?
So we'll see about that.
I think it cost them more just to pull you over.
I know. He was really trying to make talk, though. I'm like, seriously,
really?
Dude, do you want my phone number, too? You want to Facebook me while you're at it? What
yeah.
the hell?
Wow.
LA Talk Radio. Peace out, bro.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, yeah. Have you heard about this whole Chaz Bono guy?
Yeah, what about it?
Transgender, he's on Dancing with the Stars. It's just been so frustrating to me. All the bullying. It's like all the bullying that's going on and the kids committing suicide because, you know, other kids are making fun of their homosexuality and all this other crap. And yet adults are doing the exact same thing.
Mm. Oh, really? Yeah, well, they giving him a hard time?
Oh, my God. All the scrutiny, everything. They've been harassing him nonstop, threatening to kick him off the show and all kinds of crap. It's like literally I just don't understand why we can't just accept people for who they are.
Yeah.
It's like the second somebody's different, we people judge and make fun of them. Why can't we just honor and appreciate it?
Yeah.
He's
okay,
a transgender.
Well, we'll try to do that.
He's
That's
human.
Good. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get into that.
I'm all worked up this morning.
Yeah.
That policeman.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now that you let it all out, now you can relax.
I'm relaxed.
And we do have a special guest in the studio. Why don't you go ahead and introduce her to us?
Yes. I'm so excited to have Bethany Ruck here. She's one of the founders of Overcoming Sexual Abuse, which is a phenomenal organization. Can you tell us a little bit about it? And thank you so much for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's first find out a little bit about her. And,
sure.
And then she can tell us all about it because
go
we got the
it.
Whole hour, you know.
That's true. I'm really bad at this stuff.
Well, I'm a makeup
You're not
artist
bad
and a
at this
hairstylist.
Stuff at all.
That's true. Thanks.
But I also have this organization, Overcoming Sexual Abuse, that I started with my mom. All through my childhood, I was sexually abused by my father.
That's insane.
And it started from as early as I can remember till it didn't end till I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't tell anyone about it until my parents were divorced. And I finally told my mom. And I really just kept it quiet. I didn't want to make any waves.
Did you know what was happening was wrong?
I knew what was happening was wrong, but my fear at the moment was I didn't want my parents to get a divorce. So if I tell, my parents are going to get a divorce. And right. I didn't want to be the cause of that,
sure.
which I realize is a silly, it's a silly reason now, but as a child, it's terrifying.
You're so young and naive. Yeah. You have no idea what's happening, and you're probably brainwashed as well.
Right.
Did he literally have sex with you? Or, like, being abused sexually
Hold on, just a second. I mean, you guys are, like, going to finish the show in 5 minutes. I want to, like, sort of, like, set it up and everything.
Jeez.
We're going to say.
Don't worry. I've got many questions, Sam.
No, oh, I know, but I always like to get to know the guest a little bit, you know?
Okay.
And I didn't ask her anything because I wanted to ask her on the air. And stuff. So tell us a little bit about where did you grow up?
I grew up in Mesa, Arizona. It's in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that happened.
That's very hot out there, huh?
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I don't go back often, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
I've never been.
You never been to Arizona?
No.
Oh.
Have you?
Well, yeah, I've been to Phoenix just a couple days. It wasn't a big deal, you know.
Mm.
And then... one time I was at Flagstaff. I flew there on my solo flight, my private plane flight, and I sort of got lost somewhere, but I ended up landing where I was supposed to land. So,
thank goodness.
So I was there for about 15 minutes and then took off because it had... Yeah, it's a long story. I'll tell you some other time. But suffice it to say that there was like an air show there, and I was approaching just as there's planes all around me flying, and I was freaking out, you know.
I'll tell you
the story some other
Poor
time.
Poor Sam.
You know?
Yeah, we can hear that some other time.
Yeah.
I'm not really entertained right now. Moving on.
Okay, so you grew up in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me you have a sibling, right? You have a brother?
Yeah, I have a brother.
Okay, and he's younger or older than
you? He's a year older than me.
Oh, wow. So, so you guys grew up in a home. Your parents were together and everything. What was it like at home? I mean, generally, was it like, are you like a family in harmony or were there a lot of problems, things like that?
There wasn't a lot of problems. It was... in an abusive household, it's all about compliance. And we were behaved. Even though my mom and my brother didn't know about the abuse, there was still an atmosphere where they knew to stay quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the energy or just everything.
Yeah,
around.
And there were signs.
So your father was the dominant person in the family, right?
Right.
Okay, and everybody was sort of like afraid of him or just complying, right?
I wouldn't say afraid of him in a normal sense,
Yeah. It just he asserted himself in the home and and nobody questioned him or argued with him or things like that. Wow.
It's sort of like you behave because of that or else, and you don't know what that or else is. You know, like you're gonna be in trouble or else. You don't know what the or else is. You just know that you don't want that, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, so. Okay, so then everything was going cool, everything was okay. Now, at what point did you feel something was wrong?
Well, I knew that the sexual abuse was wrong.
When did it start again? I'm sorry.
It started as early as I can remember.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's crazy, right?
So you were like very young, obviously.
Very, very young, yeah.
A toddler, an infant?
I believe it started when I was an infant. When I was, I think, one, my mom found blood in my diaper.
Oh, my
God.
Is that insane?
Wow. So you never really got to have, like, a normal coming into the world type of a thing.
No.
Wow. The moment you showed up, that's it. You were being preyed on.
Right. And it's hard to say what a normal family is when, you know, like, was my family normal or what was different about my family when this is the... That was normal to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can say what is healthy, but as far as my childhood, that was my reality was very normal to
that
me.
That was the norm.
That's all I ever knew.
Wow. Wow.
And where, I just don't understand how it could be kept so secret. I mean, where did he just take you to parks? What did he do?
It was a lot of father-daughter time. Yes, there was parks. There was, my dad was a pilot as well, and he would take me all sorts of places, and we would go flying, and it was just a lot of father-daughter time, and or also in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. And did you, I mean, was this a fear of yours? Did it kind of haunt you? Or
it was so normal.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's just amazing to me. Mm-hmm. I just.
So it was normal to you, but yet you knew not to say anything?
I knew not to say anything. I don't know how to explain, but there are certain rules in that every abuser sets up for their victim. And that's, it's don't tell. Mm-hmm. And there's reasons that they have you not tell. I don't remember my dad saying, don't tell or else we're, you know, mom and I are going to get a divorce. But mm-hmm. I knew that that was the case. I don't know if he told me that or what, but there, I didn't want my dad to get in trouble because in the end he was still my dad,
right.
Which it, as dysfunctional as that is, that's all I ever knew.
Yeah. Sure. It's your father still.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Well, when you're introduced to something like that at such an early age, you're right. It is all you know. I mean, for all you know, all your friends are having the same experience. You know, you just don't understand at the time. I cannot imagine. I mean, so at what age was it that you decided to tell your mom? And
when I was 19, this was just after my parents had divorced. So I thought, oh my gosh, I can finally say something. So I did. I told my mom, and she was just shocked. And
I'm sorry, but why did you feel that at this point you could tell? Just because
they were already divorced?
Because
my reason for keeping it quiet for so long was that
to keep them from getting divorced?
To keep them from getting a divorce.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, so you felt it's like your responsibility to keep them together.
Right.
Wow, what a, you know, what a weight on your shoulder,
heavy burden for a child to care.
So
I told my mom, and she confronted my dad about it, and he came over to apologize, but he didn't really do that. It was very unremorseful.
Really? So he admitted to it?
He admitted to it, and
wow.
I mean, how can you
don't
not?
They usually deny, though?
Sometimes, but I don't think he felt threatened, like we were trying to really...
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, and he did. He said that to my mom, like, so, when he was talking to
That's
her privately.
Disgusting.
Yeah, like, so what?
Wow. So, no remorse, like you said. I mean,
right.
Yeah, it's not like he felt he really did anything wrong. He was just apologizing, I guess, because it was expected of him or something.
Right, just because he felt like he was required to.
Right.
And one thing I remember him saying was, well, my parents did this to me too. Like, oh, like, so I have an excuse to go, you know, abuse my children, and that's not the case.
Yeah.
You know?
So he had a history of it. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's weird, because you would think, like, if he had a history like that with his parents, that he would want to do the total opposite and treat you like, you know, just would never do something like that to your child.
You would hope, but a lot
not
of times,
in this
not in all cases, but a lot of times, it's abuse is about power. So he was abused. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to be the victim anymore. So he thought if he could overpower somebody else, then he wouldn't be the victim. If you're the one with the power, then you're not the victim.
I see.
So that's the way the thinking works on a subconscious level. So it's not always, it's not like that in every case, but that's how abuse does work.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I mean, you know, to just take advantage of a girl that's so young and doesn't understand anything is a big crime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's
like the ultimate, I think, in victimizing someone. So was he not afraid he would get involved with the law and all that? He didn't think he would do anything?
Well, I don't think it crossed his mind that I would. I was so close to my father throughout my childhood.
Really? Despite of this.
Right.
So to you, it was normal. I mean, this is what fathers do with their daughters.
I knew it wasn't normal, but I didn't feel like I had the power to do anything about it.
Okay.
And it was normal to me, though.
Right. It's
that
so hard to fathom,
huh?
Like the feelings and the thoughts that go through your mind.
Sure.
At that age.
Well, and especially it's like, you know, after one time, maybe you're trying to figure out what to do. After a second, after a third, it's almost like, well, shit, you know, what the heck do you do? And then at times you feel slightly brainwashed in a way, and you're being manipulated, and God only, you just are one confused mess. So getting back to that then, at the age of 19 is when you decided to come out with it.
Right.
Did you bring him to court? Like, what happened?
Well, I didn't do that until about 2 years ago. And I waited for 5 years to just figure out what I wanted to do. I didn't know if I wanted to report him. I didn't want to do it because I was feeling vengeful. I wanted to do it for the right reasons.
Exactly.
Not that any reason would have been a good reason to report him,
right.
But I wanted to feel like I was doing the right thing, not just trying to stab him, you know?
Of course, because it's not like it's just a random guy that was sleeping with you. It's your father.
Right.
You know, that is tough. It's insane.
So now, at what point did you decide that, okay, I'm not going to be quiet about this anymore? I know that at 19 you came out and announced this or informed everybody. But at what point did you decide, but the abuse ended before that, right?
Right. The abuse ended when I was 16.
Okay. And how did it end? I mean, what prompted this to suddenly end?
It just ended. It was very sudden. I don't remember a reason for it ending. Maybe I got too old. I don't know. It just ended when I was 16. And
was that a sense of relief in a way, or almost like now it lost even more? Because, you know, when he stopped, it's like almost, well, does he even love me anymore in a way?
Well, at that point, when it happened when I was 16, it hadn't happened for a while. So I didn't, a part of it was like, I'm not sure, is this going to happen again? Is this really the last time?
Sure.
You don't know. You're always expecting it, at least.
Yeah.
I see.
Now, what would go through your mind? I mean, did your body ever respond or anything like this? I mean, after all, you know, it's like, I mean, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but I would feel that either you're like fighting it in your mind all the time, or you just kind of let yourself go with it.
What do you mean by that?
Does your body respond to this? I mean, do you like enjoy it in any way at any point?
With any sort of sexual interaction, there can be gratification.
Right.
So yes, it feels good, but whether or not it feels good, it's still abuse.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, we're not discounting that or anything, but I think that's why you also sort of like maybe went through with it and let it go as long as it did. I mean, you were like afraid.
It wasn't about letting it continue.
Right.
Because I was the little girl. I didn't have the power to stop him.
Right.
Tried to say no or tried to stop him, I couldn't stop him from doing anything. There were sexual interactions that did feel good physically, but I guess I don't know what to say about that, because sex feels good,
right?
I mean,
but at times, did you ever, because like I can only imagine, it would feel like rape to me, and I'd be crying, over time you eventually just know what's going to happen and you accept it and just do it. But I'm sure in the beginning, did you ever fight back, or you just...
I don't remember.
You're a baby.
There were things that hurt that I would that I would cry, and I would tell him to stop, and I would try to fight back. Mm-hmm. But there were times when it just hurt too bad that that I would
fight back.
Yeah.
And tell him to stop, and of course I'm sure he did not.
And the rest of the time it's just
You know, do whatever, you know, do whatever you want with me because this is normal.
Right.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I think what makes it like so hard to believe is that it's your biological father, you know, and you have to wonder, it's like, at what point did he get all screwed up? You know what I'm saying? Because a normal, healthy person would not find any sexual attraction to their kids
right.
at all.
But again, his history is that his parents did the same to him.
Right.
So that does make a lot of sense.
So he did fuck him up completely.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And it was a power thing. Yeah. But again, so back to, I'm like trying to keep track of the actual story. So you ended up 2 years ago bring him to court, or what happened? Where is he now? Are you in touch?
He's in prison now.
Wow. He should
be. I have not been in touch with him since, it's been over 2 years since I've spoken with him. I reported him 2 years ago, and it was a lengthy process. It didn't actually end until last May.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now I just wanted to go back just a little bit to ask you. So he came to the house and he apologized, right?
Right.
Okay. When you guys confronted him and everything. Now, so he comes over. So he told you he had been molested too and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he sort of like had a reason or an excuse for why he was behaving the way he was. How did it end? I mean, how did your mom respond at that time when he was there and talking about it?
Well, she was very angry at the time. And she still is. I'm her daughter, and he shouldn't have done that. And
regardless, she didn't feel like shooting him right there and then.
she probably did.
Yeah.
You know, she's got a lot of self-control.
Yeah.
But whether or not he was abused, it's not an excuse.
Right.
To
not at all
re-victimize someone else.
Right.
In fact, I thought that would do the total opposite. Because, you know, like I know how my parents will always say, oh, you know, I didn't get this when I was a kid, or I didn't get that. So they want to kind of make it up with their kids and give them what they didn't have.
Right.
So it's interesting that it actually made him do the same that he experienced. That's crazy to me.
Right. Well, you know, you see a lot of families who repeat the past, whether, you know, it's an alcoholic father and their children all become alcoholics, just as an example. But some people do the exact opposite and some people do the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's really bizarre. I mean, you are like such an inspiration. I'm just so curious, like, how has this affected you now? And especially with like dating now, because you're like, you're a beautiful woman, but I mean, that's traumatizing what you went through.
There's definitely been some struggles, not only with dating, but in relationships in general. It's something that sexual abuse shaped my world as a child. It tells you who you are, your value. And I had to, the process of healing for me has been about, figuring out
get the right words. I understand. This is like a heavy conversation. And again, anyone that's listening in, you feel free to call in, and especially if you have a story, if you were sexually abused, you know, it doesn't actually have to be somebody having sex with you or raping you for it to be considered sexual abuse. So just give us a ring if you want to share your story, as you were saying, Bethany.
Yeah, 323-203-0815. The number's right there on the website, too.
Awesome.
Let's go back. Okay.
Well, it's not... the healing process for me has been about uncovering the truth about who I am, because the sexual abuse told me that I was not valuable, that I was only good for sex, the only reason people would love me was because of sex or because what I could do.
Right.
There are a number of things that it taught me. So healing has been about uncovering those things and what lies I've been told or believed about myself because of the abuse and uncovering those and seeing who I really am. And then changing patterns that I've had as a result of the abuse.
Now, after you confronted him about it and everything, did it change the dynamics between you and your mom, you and your brother, anything like that once they found out?
Because
sometimes the mother will blame the daughter.
Right, you know? That does happen a lot.
Right.
My mom never blamed me. I think that was one of my fears subconsciously as a child, that I was, you know, my mom's going to hate me. You know, I'm the other woman.
Right.
But no, she never treated me like that.
Wow.
And my brother has been very supportive as well.
Wow. You're very fortunate in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of my other family hasn't.
Yeah.
When I reported my dad, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, most of my family turned against me. I have some family that has been supportive of me, but the majority of them have turned against me.
Yeah, like the ones on his side of the family, maybe?
Some on his side and some on my mom's side, too.
Yeah.
Perhaps just because of the delay in the reaction? Or because, what he did was wrong.
Right. Some of it was in the delay, like, well, it was so many years ago. Why, you know, can't you just forgive him? And it's not a matter of forgiveness. It's a matter of getting an abuser off the street.
Yeah.
And
hold on. We've got a phone call. Let's see who that is. Maybe somebody has something to add. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hi. I'm actually a friend and acquaintance of Bethany's. My name's Amber. And I was listening to the show, and I just want to thank you, Bethany, for speaking out, because my mom went through a very similar experience with her stepfather, and it's very close. That issue is very close to me, and it's crazy to think that as many people are sexually abused or raped, most of those people do not speak about it whatsoever.
Yeah.
And as it stands, and it's so important for people to speak about this issue.
Yeah, get the word out so that other people can realize what's happening to them, because I think a lot of people do. They just hide it, try to accept it, whatever it may be. And there are all sorts of levels of sexual abuse. I mean, we're right now talking about a really heavy, to the extreme case of it, but I think a lot of people, including myself, have had like minor cases, but it's all sexual abuse nonetheless. And we should all acknowledge that, and I don't know.
Right. We have a list on our website about what is sexual abuse. If you're wondering, if you're out there and you're thinking, was I sexually abused? You know, was that thing that someone exposed me to sexual abuse? And, check it out. Yeah. See if so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling. It's
thanks, Amber.
Yeah. Thanks, Amber. And
of course.
Keep listening. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I love when people call in.
Yeah,
it's my favorite part.
So I'm sorry, I was interrupting right before the call came in. And I think we were talking about the family, right? How they were reacting to it. And his side of the family, I'm sure, would deny it and think you're the culprit here. And but the question that many people don't ask is, why would someone do this in the first place? It's your father. Why would you make up something like that if it weren't true?
Well, I don't think anybody ever thought you were ever lying either, right?
No, I don't think. I think the family knows very well that I was sexually abused. I think a lot of them are either in denial or just protecting my dad. They don't think he deserves to go to prison.
Right.
That he's a good man, and he's the type of guy that if you were his neighbor, you would trust him. You would give him the keys to your house, and he's like that person that they say, oh, but he was such a good guy, you know.
Right.
It's always the ones you least expect.
Right, right. So he has this perception. People have this perception of him on the outside, but that's not who he really was. And regardless of that, the family, it's a family system of abuse. Mm. And their jobs to keep the family normal is to protect the abuser, to keep it the way it has been. Because right now things are stable. Well, they, you know, yeah. It seemed like they were stable. Like, no one's making any waves. Let's not, you know, don't rock the boat.
Right.
And I rocked the boat.
Right.
I rocked the boat in a big way. So.
Yeah. But I know. And you know what? Another thing that you missed out on is a normal father-daughter relationship.
Right.
You know? And you don't have that, like, being buddies and looking up to your dad or anything like that. You know, it's it sounds like it was more like an adult relationship, you know.
Right. It was not only physical incest, but it was emotional incest as well.
Yeah.
It's like he tried to make me his spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I took on that role in defending him, not just with sexual abuse, but in other ways. I was always on his side of an argument.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's pretty heavy stuff, you know. So now you you decided that you're going to I mean, how long did you live before you decided you're going to do something about it? You know, because you came out, you told the family, everything like this. And what did you feel a relief after that?
After I told, it was like a huge weight off my shoulders.
Yeah.
I just felt like, oh my gosh, I can breathe. Mm. And it took me a while to build up to telling more people.
Right.
I had to, it was already hard enough telling one person. But then my mom was supportive of me, so I had the confidence to tell somebody else. Like, somebody believes me,
right.
And that's empowering.
Yeah.
It's great having that support and having the validation that, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy, first of all, and that, oh my gosh, somebody believes me.
Oh yeah, of course.
So I told some other people that I was close to, but it wasn't something that I like publicized. Like,
right.
Like now it's obviously very public.
Right.
But at the time it was just a slow process of I'm telling to get it out there for not only for talking about the issue because it's an important issue, but also for me, it was a big step for me telling more and more people,
right?
Just for support and then also getting confidence that I didn't do anything wrong here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was the victim.
Yeah. So you needed to obviously you started going to therapy and stuff, right, to help you with that?
I didn't.
Really?
No.
That's amazing.
Wow. I did. Well, I went to a few sessions, and it was when I was visiting my brother in Arizona a couple years ago, and I just never really got into it.
Yeah. I understand. So, I had a similar experience.
Really?
For some people, it's just not. It's more of you just have to change it in your mind and you fix yourself in a way.
Well, I think that there is a definite benefit to therapy, but there are other tools out there. That's not the only way.
Mm.
There are a lot of great books on sexual abuse. Mm. There's websites out there like overcomingsexualabuse.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it .com or .org?
Both.
.com.
Okay, cool.
Oh, okay.
But there's a lot of content out there, and then in the end, you have to do the work. So it doesn't matter if you go to a therapist, if you're talking it out with a friend, you're still the one who has to do the work in the end. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So at a certain point, you decided, I mean, was it other people that discussed with you whether you're going to turn him in, or was that just something that went on in your mind?
Well, I had, it was a process. It was a lengthy process of 5 years that I had kind of molded over. And one day, well, I had to go get a pap smear. I was mm-hmm. getting my birth control refilled, and I had to mm-hmm. get a pap smear. It was my first one, and I was terrified that they were going to say something's wrong with you physically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't have children.
Yeah,
like, it's
true.
All just knots and, you know,
mm-hmm.
sorry, you can't have kids. And that was a huge fear of mine, and I didn't realize what a big fear that was, that that this abuse had followed me into my adult years.
Mm.
And yes, there were other things that that were a result of the abuse, but that was just so major. I thought I might not be able to have kids because of this, you know? What if what he did to me just really screwed me up? So it made me reevaluate reporting him even more. And I woke up one morning and I was like, I have to do this. So on August 11th of, or August 8th of 2009, I reported him.
Wow.
I had my mom come with me to Arizona, and we went to the police there and reported him. And on the 11th, he was arrested.
Wow.
So he's been in jail ever since, and officially in prison in May. So
right. For how long?
For 15 years.
Wow. Now, there was a trial, obviously.
There wasn't a trial. He actually signed a plea deal.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So he admitted this. There was no, like, arguing
right.
and all this. 15 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which, I mean, it would have been great if it was longer, but I'm just glad that I took a stand against him because I got my no.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, he destroyed your life for for a long time, maybe forever, you know, and I mean, not destroyed your life, but affected it in a way.
He stole my childhood.
He did.
And he has caused me to have to jump hurdles that other people haven't.
Right. Lots of hurdles.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, like, I met you, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, and because she's a fantastic makeup artist and hairstylist, but never in a million years when I met you would I have thought this had happened to you. I mean, this is, I mean, it's just such a bizarre story. Like, you seem like such a happy and person and just healthy and very glowing. So I think I actually found out when I went, you know, added you on Facebook and you, of course, you were sharing your story, and I just couldn't, my jaw dropped. I mean, I had to share your story with other people because I was just so amazed. It's just really crazy how, I mean, you just seem like you're doing so well for yourself, and I'm just, I couldn't be more impressed and
thank you.
Amazed.
Well, the thing is, there are hundreds, thousands of people out there that have been sexually abused, and they look normal on the outside,
sure.
you know, and there's, you can't tell, you know, there's not like a mark on them that
right.
says, you know,
you don't have a stamp on you.
Right, right, that says this person was sexually abused. Right. So there are a lot of people out there that are hiding it, though.
Right.
So. And so you ended up forming this organization, Overcoming Sexual Abuse. Can you now just tell us a little bit about that? Well, it's kind of self-explanatory after we've already talked about
well,
it.
Well, there's a little more.
Yeah, of course. Please do.
Well, OvercomingSexualAbuse.com was started 2 years ago with my mom. We were looking for information online for not only support, but also content. The only things that we were finding was books, and we're like, what, is there anything online? And there wasn't that mixture of support and hope and encouragement from other survivors, as well as good quality content on healing. And we wanted to give that to people. So we started OSA. That's what we call it.
Nice.
We started Overcoming Sexual Abuse out of that, and we've had an opportunity to share our stories on people's level. We're not experts on sexual abuse. We know a lot on sexual abuse. We've been through it, but we're not the experts. And
was your mom ever sexually abused?
She was.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
That's so weird. It's kind of like, because I've always believed that you kind of attract what you've, you know, that energy that what you've been through, you naturally attract it.
Right.
Which is why I'm always worried, because I attract all the nutsos. So I'm like, clearly I'm a nut. But anyway, that's wild. So she was sexually abused
right.
as well.
So on Overcoming Sexual Abuse, we talk about our experiences, our healing journey, and just, I think it brings hope to people who have been sexually abused. And and we can say it does get better. You know,
sure.
It's not always dark, and there's not always going to be bad days. There's happy days ahead. And
oh, of course.
Right. Now, do you feel sometimes that, what was my question?
Brain fart.
Yeah. I mean, your dad is in jail and everything. I mean, do you sometimes wish that it was different? Like, I mean, obviously you do, but I mean, does sending him to jail, is that part of your healing?
I think it is. I think it's about me taking a stand and saying no to him.
Right.
And that was something that I was never able to do as a child.
Right.
And me reporting my father and sending him to jail is just one big fat no. You're not in control of me anymore. Mm-hmm. And you can't do this anymore. And you can't do this to anybody else.
Right.
So it is part of my healing.
Victorious and stuff in that way.
How strong is she too, though? Because, like, it's one thing to be somebody random, but for it to be your father, like, it does, I mean, it's a tough decision, but it's the principle, and it's a matter of right or wrong, and what he did was wrong.
Right.
You know, regardless of how long she waited, even if she, you know, you waited 10, 20 years from now. I've experienced some very minor situations where you do naturally feel kind of just brainwashed. And over time, like, you're still constantly thinking about what it's just kind of in you. And you and then people question why you took so long. I totally understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a process. It's not something that happens. I can see that, you know. So he's he's in there for 15 years now. What's going to happen when he comes out?
I don't know. You know, I'll take that one day at a time.
Yeah. He'll be very humbled by then, I'm sure. That's a long time to think about what you did. Yeah.
Really, really angry.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of time to either be humbled or be really angry. So either way, I'm living my life.
Right.
And I'm happy because I feel like I have a fresh start. I'm taking my life in my own hands now and not giving the power to my father anymore.
Right.
And that's exciting.
Yeah.
And it's great because I'm making strides and I don't want to let him affect me anymore. So when he does get out, he's served that time. And even though he deserves more.
Yeah.
But
He deserves more. And that's because it's, it's a crime to steal life from someone else, you know. And this is the ultimate betrayal because it's your parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are like instinctively you learn to trust them from the moment you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And to take advantage in this way of someone that's so defenseless is unforgivable, I think, you know. And that's why I think, but 15 years, look, it's a long time. He's going to come out of there a different person, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. I hope so, but... Yeah.
And they don't treat child abusers very well in jail
they don't.
Either. Yeah. Wow.
Well, it's well deserved, honestly. Just for other females listening out there, what are just other forms of sexual abuse that may not literally be somebody raping you or, you know?
Well, it's not just females.
Yeah. Oh, that's very true too.
It can be men too. But other forms of sexual abuse, I mean, it's not. It can not only be rape, it can be touching, it can be kissing, it can be exposure to pornography, voyeurism, someone speaking to you sexually. You know, if in someone who is in a position of power, whether that be your parent, it can be pastors, it can be teachers, you know, any... It can be an adult, but it can also be a kid.
Mm-hmm.
The exposure to that, it has an effect on you.
Mm-hmm.
And people try and minimize their own abuse, like, oh, it only happened once. Or, oh, it was just another kid. It was, you know, nothing. But it's still sexual abuse, and it still has the same effects.
Right.
So I like to encourage people not to minimize their own abuse, that if there was something that happened, face it, because it does have an effect on your adult life. And it's good to get out of that. Mm-hmm. It feels really good to get out of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. So everybody go to overcomingsexualabuse.com. I see you have a blog here. There's a lot of content, folks, a lot of content on this website. And you also makeup artist, right?
I'm a makeup artist and a hairstylist.
Wow.
Yeah. Very talented.
Do you want to give a plug to yourself?
Thank you. What's that?
Do you want to give a plug to yourself? So
sure.
Can
visit
find you?
BethanyRuck.com or on Facebook at Facebook.com/BethanyRuckMakeup.
Sounds good.
Nice.
Well, yeah, sounds very nice. Mm-hmm. I like that.
And at OSA on Facebook, too.
Yes, yeah. Please. I'll be posting that on my Facebook.
Okay, great.
Yeah, wonderful. So how are you dealing with life now? I mean, this is like behind you in a way, at least, you know, the whole tale itself is behind you. I mean, I know it's going to affect you for the rest of your life, but at the same time, where are you now in your life?
I'm happy. I'm living life. But at the same time, there's always new things that come up and realizations like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I need to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Or things that I know I need to deal with that just haven't, you know, I'm like, oh, maybe not yet. And like anybody, I mean, everybody has issues. It's just a fact of life. But I'm dealing with them as they come. And I've gotten through a lot of the healing process with sexual abuse, but it's not over, and I'm not quitting anytime soon, and I'm always going to be open to healing and growing and changing and doing what I can to improve myself.
Right, yeah. And Stephanie was asking you in the beginning, how has it affected your relationships, your love life?
Dating now.
Dating, things like that.
It has definitely affected my dating because it has skewed my idea of what a healthy relationship is. So I have accepted relationships in the past that maybe weren't abusive relationships, not necessarily in a physical or sexual sense, but I was in a relationship with a very verbally abusive guy, and I thought that it was okay for him to treat me like that because because that's how, you know, I saw myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, do you have somebody in your life right now?
I don't.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
Join the club, though, right?
I'm ready to get back out there.
Yeah. I bet.
Cool. Well, you're a fascinating guest. Thank you so much,
you.
Bethany, for joining us. You're a hero in my book, you know?
Thank you.
I mean, when you can overcome all these things and all this adversity and rise above all of this and you can smile and laugh. That's amazing, you know. That's the human spirit in action.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Well said, Sam. Well said.
Stephanie, thank you so much for bringing her
thank
on
you,
the
thank
show.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll see you all. Actually, we're going to take off until Friday of next week. So,
yeah, so we'll see you Friday.
Yeah, you guys can listen to some great replays, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Woohoo!
You have been listening to Sam and Steph in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only right here on LA Talk Radio. If you have a question for one of our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about starting your very own talk radio show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Steph in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.